We're short-sighted, nearsighted, but I want to put short in there so you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we're just nearsighted. We're looking around. This is my world. This is my comfort zone. I can't see the big picture, nor do I really care. I am comfortable. I like my life. Now, if we look at Jonah here, Jonah had a problem. A prophet of God speaks the words of God to the people of God, nothing else. And did Jonah do that? Now, you've heard the story, Pastor. They're going to say, yes, I've heard it. So sometimes they know it. But Jonah in chapter 1 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. What was his command? Go to Nineveh. Speak to them. But now I want to tell you, Jonah had a problem because the Ninevites were his enemies. It's like, is it ISIS? Yeah, ISIS. It's like they took over America. Let's just say that. And let's just say that I'm supposed to go talk to them. Now, come on. I've seen things on the web. I know what they do. This was the same group of people, the same antic. They did the same thing back then. And Jonah said, you want me to talk to them? You're crazy, God. I'm not going to do it. They are my enemies. They blaspheme your name. They do all these sorts of things. God, I'm not going to do it. He didn't have John 3:16. He didn't have 2 Peter 3:9. He didn't have Acts 17:30. But he had the word of God, go. Instead of going, he went the other way. You heard the story. You know this. And God started working in his life, trying to encourage him. But Jonah was stubborn. We're not stubborn, are we? I didn't hear too many amens, so I know you're not. But I want to tell you something, because sometimes our stories starts this way. We heard about Moses, right? The hero Moses. Let my people go. This Moses, you know, as he brought down the Ten Commandments. I mean, he was a great guy. I mean, God gave him these Ten Commandments. You know, he was the one who walked on, in a sense, the dry ground when the waters parted. I mean, whoa! He's a big name. But you know, in his earlier days, he tried to take the people out of Egypt. He was a murderer. And he fled to the desert. And let's say this nice microphone was a burning bush. He comes to that burning bush and says, whoa, what's going on? And God starts speaking to him. And you know what we do as Christians? We do what Moses did. God says, I have a plan and I have a purpose for your life. And he said, I want you to get these people out of Egypt. You know what his response was? I tried it before. It didn't work. And I'm not going to do it. Can you believe he would say those words? I'm surprised we do. And he also said this. He said, by the way, I don't have a big title behind my name. I haven't gone to Bible school. I can't do this. By the way, my brother Aaron, he speaks so much better than I do. Use him. So instead of saying, yes, God, I'll do it. I tried it before. It didn't work. Use him instead of me. Have we ever done that? I hope not. How about this young lady? I can't picture Sarah, but I think she looks like this. The angel of the Lord comes to Sarah and says, next year you're going to have a baby. And she says, yeah, right. I have a biology book. It doesn't work that way. But you know, she said, I'm too old. Why don't you find someone younger? She can have a baby. She can be blessed. But God had a plan and a story for her. It was a mystery. How are you going to do this, God? It just doesn't work. But it did. And how about this? I don't know which one of these this young man was, but Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, don't let them worry about you being young. I have something for you to do. So sometimes our excuses when we're nearsighted, when we're only thinking about me, this is my world, this is my comfort zone, this is all I want to do, is that I tried it before, it didn't work. By the way, use him or her, she speaks better, she sings better, she teaches better than me. I'm too old to be used. Where's retirement in the Bible? I'm too young to be used. If you know my Jesus, His Spirit dwells within you, and He will empower you. The promises are there for you. You have God's Word in your hand. And what kind of excuse can we do? But the second short thing, sometimes we're short-circuited. Now, what I mean by this? You know what I mean? When you plug it in, things work. And when you kick it out, it doesn't. I mean, the power source is still there, but you're not connected. It's like, It's like we had an air slide at our church during kids' day. You know, one of those real big things where you climb up them, you slide down. Well, it got unplugged. It didn't take too long for that thing to collapse on itself. That's the same thing that happens to us. When we're not plugged in, it doesn't take long for us to get deflated. Let's just look here again in Jonah. You know the story, don't you? He starts saying things like this in chapter 1, verse 7. Remember the story? He's sleeping. Can you believe he's sleeping? He's sleeping because he's running from the Lord, and the boat's going all over the place, and they're throwing out all the junk so it'll be lighter. And the sailors come to him and say, "Why don't you start praying to your God? Maybe He'll save us." And here's his reply in verse 9. And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry ground." Let me just stop there. He starts confessing what he knows. He's not living it out, but he's confessing it. Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Amen. Do you believe He died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that He rose again? Hallelujah! I mean, these are the plan of salvation. But the demons believe that as well. But you know, here's Jonah's problem. He knows the truth, but he doesn't know the truth. You see the difference? He knows the truth, but the truth has not set him free. It's not in his heart. It's not in his life. He unplugged himself from the power of God, and he just doesn't know it. He's running from God. And so often that happens in our life. We know what we're supposed to do. We say the words that we're supposed to say. They sound so good, but we don't believe it or we don't trust them. Trust the Lord. Talk about finances. There's only one prayer in the Bible in Malachi 3:10 that bring your tithes in the storehouse to God. Test me in this and see if I won't open up the floodgates of heaven. I mean, there's prayers and there's promises in God if we trust Him, if we take a step of faith. But so often we are short-circuited just like He was. And you know the story. They threw Him in. He was swallowed by a fish. But I want to tell you something. The book of Hebrews is one of my favorite books of the Bible. And there's five major warnings in the book of the Bible, in Hebrews. And they all build on one another. I got time this morning. Keep your finger here and Jonah with me, but just jump if you can to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 comes after Hebrews chapter 1. And Hebrews chapter 1, the first 3 to 6 verses talk about Jesus Christ. That He is the Creator of all things. In the last day, God has spoken to us by His Son. We don't need more revelation. We have everything that we need. But it says in chapter 2, the first warning here is drifting away. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. It's like this. I'm standing in the middle. Here's the clock right there. Let's just say the lifeguard was there. My mom used to put me right in front. When we went to North Carolina, that's where we went on vacation, we would go to the beach. And you are Florida. I mean, this is a good story. We just say Florida. But this North Carolina, she puts me in front of the lifeguard and she says, "John," because she knows me, "stay in front of the lifeguard." "Yes, Mommy." But the waves are going. They're always going in a different direction. They don't go this way. They always go toward the side, right, brother? And pretty soon I find myself so far away from the lifeguard. I can still see them, but I'm not in front of them. So it's kind of like I'm doing okay in my mind. Plus, the waves are bigger here. It's funner. And so often we drift. We don't mean to. We miss a Sunday.
We miss a prayer meeting. We miss our Bible studies. We miss prayer at home. We miss doing this. We miss doing that. And after a period of time, it's not a big deal. We start to drift. You've been there. I've been there. It happens all the time. We have to put ourselves back always in front of God's Word. But so for the Christian, so often we can drift. The second one in Hebrews 3:7, we can have a hard heart. You see, we drift. We don't mean to. But when the whistle of the lifeguard, you're too far away, I'm okay. My heart gets a little hard. I didn't mean to drift, but now my heart's a little hard because I like it here so much better. You've been there. I've been there. It happens all the time. We have to get ourselves right back in front of that lifeguard. The third one, quickly, is found in chapter 5:11. You know what? It says that we could be hard of hearing, dull of hearing. We need those hearing aids once again of God, because once we drift, our heart gets a little hard. We don't hear the warnings of the Spirit. We don't have the warnings of God. When we're reading the Word of God, we just read it. Okay, I did my reading today. And that's it. So you see, in our lives, God has a plan and a purpose for us. It doesn't need to be a mystery. It's a purpose. And He wants us to go with Him as an adventure. But so often we say, I don't want to. I like it over here so much better. And Jonah was like that. He ran from God. But Psalms 139, where can you go from thy spirit? You go to heaven, He's there, right? You go to hell, He's there, right? If you take the wings of dawn, He's there. If you try to hide in the dark, He says, the darkness is like light to me. There's no difference. Where can you flee from the presence of the Almighty God? Well, you know the story. He said, after 3 days, I'm sorry, and the fish spits him out. Let me ask you. It's not Paul. I know your name, but forget it. I'll pick on you because John has his name tag on. John, let me ask you a question. John, if you were swallowed by a fish, how long would it take you to say, help me? I tell you. I mean, if I was stuck in a stinky fish, you think I would take more than 2 seconds to say, Lord, get me out of this mess? But so often, when we drift from God, our heart gets a little hard, and we don't want to hear anything from Him. It takes 3 days before the situation comes to us. And we're saying, oh Lord, get me out of here. We're that guy. We're Jonah. Because so often situations in our lives, it takes us 3 days before we cry out to God. God, help. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's something from the doctor or some sort of report. And it's a trial in our lives. But so often we just don't want to say, help. Get me out of this mess. But the story was that he was spit out. In chapter 2, it says that. But one of the neat things was, he was a God as a second chance. Because in chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And he calls out. And chapter 3 says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Don't you praise God for second chances? Don't you? I mean, you might have blew it one time. Or two times. Or 3 times. But God is a God of second chances. God is a graceful God. And he was given this guy who really didn't say, oh, get me out of this fish. I don't think he really was. He turned his heart over that much to God. But God knew it. He had a second chance. He went to his enemies. A city that was so big it took 3 days to walk around. He got tired after one day. And he said, think about your pastor saying this next week. You're all going to hell. You better be saved. Amen. And that was his message. But really, that's what he's really saying here. But the word was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and the whole city accepted the Lord. It was amazing that this group of heathens, these murderous people, they all bowed their heads and accepted God as their Savior. Let's say it that way. But Jonah didn't like that idea. He didn't like it. He said, God, I knew you're a loving God, but you're a just God. You wouldn't save my enemies. So he goes up the hill. He goes up the hill and he says, I'm going to watch you destroy my enemies. And I'm going to like it. Maybe. There we go. Too many. My third point. Remember, nearsighted or short-sighted. Sometimes we're short-circuited from the power of God. Sometimes we have a short life. What I mean by that, sometimes you see a glass. Is this glass half full or half empty? It tells what type of person you're at. I don't really believe always that stuff, but it's interesting. But God wants to give us a life in abundance. A life in abundance with purpose. A life of adventure with God. And so often we settle for the little drips of life. We settle because this is our world and we're comfortable here. But God said, break out of that world and see what else is going on. But I told you, there was Jonah. He said, I'm going up the hill and God is graceful. He says, well, it's a hot day, not like yesterday. And he said, the wind was blowing and I'm just going to make Jonah this big old plant above his head so it'll be cool. That's God's like that, isn't he? Doesn't he give you good gifts? Man, but Jonah had a bad heart. He goes, I hope you kill him. I'm going to watch him right now. So God gives him this plant. He's enjoying it. But I want to tell you, no matter what trial that you go through right now in your life, let me tell you something. God is more concerned with your holiness than He is with your comfort. God is more concerned with your sanctification than He is with your comfort. Sanctification is God the Father is changing us in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And He has to stretch us and mold us and shape us and put us in situations that we would respond correctly. But here's Jonah. He says, by the way, God, something happened to my tree. Because God just sent a little old worm, and destroyed his comfort zone. Maybe that notice that you got from the doctor destroyed your faith for a period of time. Maybe those problems that you had at the house or at work, just those little things is destroying your faith in God. But God wants to change you in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So He sends sometimes difficulties to shape you into the person He wants you to be. Here's a verse that I love. A teacher comes to Jesus and says, what's the greatest commandment? Oh, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And love your neighbor. Remember, God so loved the world. God doesn't want any to perish. He commands us, all mankind, to know Him. And so we love God. And we show our love by God by loving others. Even our enemies. But sometimes, because we're in our little comfort zone, we don't want to look outside the box. So when we read verses like this, we read them quickly. I do sometimes, don't you? But look, it says, he who loves father or mother or grandfather or grandmother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The adventure of God is trusting Him with all that you have, all that you are. He won't call all of you to be missionaries to Santiago, Chile. He'll call you to be missionaries to Lebanon. He'll call you missionaries to your work, to your neighborhood, to your school. He's calling you because there's places I can't go where you can. and His name must be seen. What's your story? Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus, or do you know my Jesus? If you have a question today, talk to your pastor. I'll be here as well, but talk to your pastor. Say, I'm not sure. Let me share a verse that God has given to us, part of one of our chapter verses. One of our verses that we underline in our Bible that we think is so precious. I made a big I for God. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. Because sometimes it's difficult. But we have a person who's been there. And there's treasure in the dark. And He wants us to find it. So look, I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. What's your excuse? I did it before. Didn't work. Can't do it. Someone else can do it. But God wants you. No, no, no. I'm too old. Really? Is there still breath in your lungs? I'm too young. Oh, my friends, God has His finger on each one of us. And let's just end with this verse. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His ways. Father, I praise You for this church, for its testimony in this community. This church is a light, a saving light, because it's bringing people to You. I pray for them for next week as they, this church, and the church we know, Lord, is not a beautiful building, but it's the beautiful people here. It's them, Lord, that You will attract other people here for next week. I pray that You would empower the pastor as he preaches. And the music, Lord, may it be a delight to everyone. But, Lord, may souls be saved. May lives be transformed. I pray, Lord, again, if there's someone here today that has not known You or has doubts, that today would be the day of their salvation. That they can know for sure that their name is written in the book of life. But that also that You have a plan and a purpose for their lives. Because, Lord, we know that You want more for us. You have gifted us to do more in the church for Your glory. You have allowed us to be around the world, Lord. The world is not our home, but You have given us people that we know in this world. Give us a desire for them. And Lord, if there is someone here that needs to think about being a missionary, whether it's coming down to Santiago, Chile to teach in a school or be a missionary or do whatever You will want, Lord, touch their hearts today. We give You praise, Father, for what You're doing. We give You praise for Your great grace in our lives. And we love You, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.